Eric Adelson, NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, joins us in about 30 minutes. Jason Ross in for Grant. Doug Christie here as always as the Kings begin their road trip tomorrow. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We've talked a lot about the Kings. We could continue that conversation. Last night, Doug, interesting game at Oracle in which Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook hooked up for the second time. We still haven't had KD back to OKC yet.
February, coming up.
It's coming. It's coming. We joked with Garrett Temple already about probably the worst traveling violation in the history of the game.
No doubt.
If you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor. Check that one out. But also in that game, there was a play just outside of half court where Russell Westbrook got the ball, kind of got pinched in between two players, and Zaza was one of them. Got a little physical, nothing really dirty, I don't think, but Zaza was given a flagrant and then stood over him. And that wasn't received too well by Russell. Here's Westbrook's reaction to Zaza. Oops, sorry about that. That's my bad. I'll get that cleaned up here. 1 second. Here we go. All right.
Straight up.
What's that mean? What's the code?
What straight up mean?
No, not that. What is he saying? I'll get him. Like, what's... What are we talking about here?
Hey, Chris, you got a beep button in there?
We don't have the KG cuss button.
Hey, some things, it's not cool. You know, like, you make a good hard foul like that on somebody, walk off. Last time somebody did that to me, well, you know what happened. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I remember.
That was well played, man.
You stepped right into that one.
You had your head on the trigger.
I was ready.
I'm just saying, there's some stuff that you just don't do. You're going to take a hard foul? Okay, keep it pushing. Don't stand over me. Don't do the dominance thing and all that. And I would say more than anything, Russ is, at some point, you're going to smack him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, That's just the code, and obviously I'm sure they have that code in Georgia in some shape, form, or fashion, because obviously that was a really nice foul that he put on him, but the standing over, so I would assume that Russ would probably go to the basket, if he does it, go to the basket pretty hard and probably lead with his knee.
Yeah.
If it's somebody else, you know, just smack him one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take the fine, whatever. You know, it's baseball.
Yeah.
You're a little close.
Yeah.
Chin music.
Like,
step back.
We always talk about baseball and unwritten rules. Then if I'm a teammate of Russ and I hear that, I'm like, I got you.
Exactly.
If that's a Steven Adams, if that's a Enes Kanter, it could be anybody. It could be Anthony Morrow. It doesn't matter. They go, yeah, I'll get him for you.
No doubt. Bring him through the lane.
Yep.
And it's
subtly.
It is part of the game. It's body language. It's a lot of little nuances that go on. And if you do something like that, you got to pay the price.
As far as Russell and KD, it seemed kind of innocent enough when Kevin Durant made his decision. Then you could tell it bothered Westbrook. Now I feel like it's the snowball that it seems like there's really something there now. And more so from Westbrook, to me, maybe he's using it as fuel.
You know, I think Westbrook, kind of like Michael Jordan, uses a lot of different things, because when you're out there, you know, energy is only so much, but you're looking for those little edges. That could be looking at Golden State. You know, they are kind of playing a bullyish role.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really their style.
No.
I mean, there's no Oakleys. There's no Masons on that team. Let's not confuse ourselves. You know, maybe Draymond. He's
got closest one.
He got a tough nut to him. And Zaza, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was saying earlier, I can't remember who I was watching, they were saying, let me see him do that to DeMarcus Cousins. Let me see him do that to Z-Bo. Then I'll have some respect for him. So from that standpoint, okay, maybe. But you got a lot of dues to pay before you step into that zone. But to your question, I think that them not talking and that sort of thing, I think Russ is just like, I don't owe you anything. You didn't want to talk to me. You didn't want to do it. I don't really have too much to say to you. Did you see them chirping a little bit last night?
A little bit, yeah. There's something
so
there.
It's getting a little testy, but Russ, for as aggressive and dominant, he doesn't get into a lot of stuff. He just kind of keeps it going. He does it, and then he's on to the next thing, and he keeps it going. So I'll tell you, the game in OKC is going to be out of control. Yeah. I'm sure those fans are going to be ripe and ready.
And I would think it's got to be mixed, though, because a lot of them genuinely liked him, loved him, but then they also go, wait a minute, you went to the Warriors?
Man, I would don't anticipate a love fest, yeah. Jay Joe. I'm telling you.
Well, and the way that goes, too, even if you had 15,000 people there and 10,000 are cheering, you'll hear the you could hear 200 boos. Hear that.
Oh, no doubt. And yeah. I would anticipate, because in that situation, Ross, the line was drawn.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had two stars. One of them chooses to go to the team that you were just on the cusp of going to the finals. The other one chooses to stay, and he stays as in, kind of, you know, they nominated him to the Oklahoma City Sports Hall of Fame, and so did KD, but they just did that with Russell and Michael was there. Mm-hmm. And you
he
know,
spoke on his behalf, yeah.
And kind of took a shot here or there, you know, those type of things. So I would anticipate that that's going to be it's going to be must-see TV. I'll be watching.
What would you have done if you were Durant?
Meaning stay or go?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a loyal person. When I was here, I don't know if I said this on the radio. I may have, but I was out on the golf course. I think I told the story, but I'll briefly say it again. I'm out on the golf course with my wife, and Tim Duncan calls me on the phone. And it was during my free agent year and wanted me to come to San Antonio.
You'd have been a good fit there.
I would have been Bruce Bowen mm-hmm. with more skills
mm-hmm.
and three championships later and a lot of things. But you know, there was a loyalty that I felt. These were my brothers, and you know, it's like, you know, that's me.
Yeah,
I don't.
I'm gonna
know.
Beat you,
right? And we really didn't have big problems with them, mm-hmm. to be honest. They always dealt with the Lakers. We always dealt with the Mavericks, and then we met up with the Lakers.
Yeah.
But that is it's awkward because there was a style of play, and from some inside info that I kind of know is it was kind of organizational how they wanted them to play. Is like that's how they wanted them to play. And you know, KD wanted to further, and you see, I mean, defensively he's mm-hmm. a lot better, rebounding he's a lot better, he's super efficient, and you know, so he wanted to so it's hard to judge him in that way. I understand how you can, there's arguments, but yeah,
and it's probably worked out by both persons' personalities for the best.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like Durant's an easy teammate to play with. Russell might be difficult, but he can thrive as the top dog.
Yeah, and I Russell, before everyone got on his bandwagon, I just absolutely loved him because I love the drive and the desire that he plays with. I think that he would play the right way if they put it in there that way.
Yeah.
Don't know, but because he wants to win, you can tell.
Oh, no doubt.
Oh,
no doubt.
My gosh.
There's a passion that never ending there for him. Let's check in with Brian on KHDK. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Jason. Hey, Doug.
Hey.
Hey, the biggest issue I had last night was Cantor not coming to Westbrook's defense. I saw the replay. I understand Adams is out, so you don't want to do anything stupid. But, you know, he just kind of walked up and no words were said or anything like that. And you have to deliver a message back, whether it's verbally or, you know, something has to be done just to stick up for your player. I mean, it's arguably the MVP of the league. And I just thought that was a little bit it was Bush League what Zsa did. And I thought it was, you know, kind of equally as bad for Cantor not sticking up for his player.
Brian is, Brian is spot on. Actually, when I saw it, I was thinking, I would have slapped you in the back of the – if that's my guy,
mm-hmm.
man – right up in the throat area. You better back up, dude.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And I mean, there's that thing that it's a physical, animalistic thing that's going on out there. And when you step like that, someone has to step back to you. That's why when we talk about the Kings and when people come out on them and they come out that aggressive and the Kings don't come back aggressive, that's how you get dominated, man. You gotta put your feet down. You gotta say, look, there's a line in the sand. Don't cross it, or we're gonna have an issue.
Yeah. So in the team dynamic, is it a bigger issue if no one steps up? Because the altercation's with the other team, but then when that's done, you go on you play your next 80 games. When someone doesn't step in, you know, for you or step up for you, is that a bigger issue in the locker room or at halftime or in a practice later?
Well, it could be, but Russ, probably by saying he's going to handle it, he kind of took care of it.
Yeah.
But I agree with Brian. I thought that there was Oladipo there and there was Enes Kanter there. And you put your butt right into his thigh and back him. He might fall down because you're standing over my guy. You got to move out of the way.
Not
and
there.
I'm going to move you, bang, and I'm probably going to get a technical.
Yeah. You're right with
but
that.
But then you're probably going to get a technical, too, because you instigated. You know, that's what I mean. It's an unwritten rule and language that's going on that you got to play into.
Yeah. All right. Gary's next here on Sports 1140. Hey, Gary.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Hey.
I don't mean to switch it back, but you know, to the Kings. But
switch
that's
it.
Fire, man. Watching the third quarter, that animalistic thing you're talking about, Doug, was missing. I mean, they didn't move the ball. You never saw any defense. And I'm a frustrated – borderline angry Kings fan, and I've watched you guys since Lionel Simmons and Wayman Tisdale, and I love watching you guys. Doug, I remember a game when you got on Latrell Sprewell, man, back in 2002, and that was awesome to watch.
Yes.
I mean, where's the fire, man? I don't understand. Like, is it a mental thing with this team? We're up 22 points. I don't know what to tell them. I'm watching the game with my kids, and they're like, what happened? And I said, I don't know. They put the high school team out there. I don't know how to explain it. And it's, you know, I know we've got some talent, kind of, maybe. I mean, but really, where is this team going to go? And now that we can't get anything for Rudy Gay, he'll probably still walk, correct? Or is he under contract now with the injury? A couple questions, and I'll take it off the air. Thanks, guys. If you don't mind me letting me hear on the phone.
Oh, there you go. Sure. Hang on, Gary.
Yeah. You know, the aggressiveness, the sense of urgency, to Gary's point, I speak about it all the time. It kind of for our team, and I don't always like to bring it up. But the point was, a lot of times I would set that tone, and the tone has to be set, and someone has to hold people accountable in all those different things, and it has to be out there on the floor, not always from the coach, because Rick wasn't really that type of You know, he allowed us to do it, and however we needed to do that is what we needed to do. And that killer instinct, sense of urgency, a lot of times I always say it needs to be palpable. It needs to jump off the screen at me. And I don't see it all the time. And to Gary's point, it is worrisome.
Mm-hmm. And then the other part, he was asking about Rudy. What's his future? Where will he go? I'll say this. Earlier today, Ken and Damian were talking to Nate Duncan, pretty good guy, cap expert, as the Dunked On podcast. And they asked him about Rudy's future. Here was his response. Which is the same kind of tone I think you had earlier, Doug. You anticipate still an opt-out, looking for more of a longer-term deal, which is what he was looking at before. So the injury, if anything, may just change the dollars that are coming his way, but it still could be the means to the end that he wanted, which is one final contract.
Yeah, you got to know that, okay, so if he's getting $14 million, anything over that $14 million is kind of what he's going to be getting. Now, that number shrunk quite a bit, probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, teams nowadays, I can remember what you probably do too, when Isaiah Thomas, the old Isaiah,
yeah,
Zeke.
The Piston.
Yeah, he tore his Achilles, and Dominique Wilkins, and for a long time, ACLs, they were like career ending,
yeah,
you know. And now with sports medicine and a lot of things that we're seeing, guys are able to come back. That's how you can gamble on a Wesley Matthews or something like that. So I would say that someone is going to gamble on Rudy, not to the probably, I think you and I talked about $75 million, $80 million maybe for 3 or 4 years. Maybe not to that point, but for him, the gravy is anything over what he was already going to get. So maybe he gets 50, 60 for 3, something like that. And for that, that's going to be the gamble, and someone I think will probably take it that needs a wing score. And how about this? How about will he think, and I'm thinking of Rudy, will he think ahead to where he's going to be at? Meaning that as you wane in your career, do you go to a place like maybe Initially, he was thinking more of an aggressive role, mm-hmm. meaning going to a team
like
where
I'm
going to
be the guy or
one of the guys. Yeah. Right. Whereas now, maybe do you think of a Houston mm-hmm. where you allow somebody else to create it and then you just kind of put the cherry on top, meaning Ryan Anderson. And I know Rudy doesn't like playing the four, but with his size, stretch four, mm-hmm. knocking down shots, those type of things.
Yeah. And you know, it is a good point. What is he thinking? And you could almost see the wheels turning in
wow.
You know, sports is the greatest reality show, but that was a tragic one in a sense of, man, he's hurt. That's the immediacy. Wow, he's also got a big payday coming. The season's over for him. You could see it all playing out, and then you're like, man, that's still a human being. Now we're not watching it on TV, we're watching it right in front of our eyes. That was just a telling and powerful moment.
Man, I you know me. I'm Kings. I love him.
Yeah.
And I'm not even a teammate, but I just wanted to go down there and hug him and say, look, man, you can do this. You'll be okay. And I'm like, you know what, Doug? Stay in your position. play your position.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. But I just was like, man, just knowing the work that goes in for guys to be able to do what it is that they love to do is tough.
And, you know, you're saying it's probably like life, too, in a sense that there's 29 other teams out there. Not all of them have to want him. He needs one.
Yeah.
He just needs one. And there's some people that go, I'm not touching him. He's injured. But others might, you know what, I might be able to get a bargain.
It's fit-based, too.
Yeah.
Do you need that, you know, because now you're kind of looking at it, maybe this is a bad analogy and I'm learning as I go, but relief pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need that? You know, he's got it. And how many times a year are you going to need it? And you're not sure what you're going to get initially. Will it get better? And then kind of like with Ty, it's a gamble, but hopefully you're on the good side of that surprise. And with Ty Lawson, I think we're on the good side of the surprise. Now you're paying more, but if Rudy is that eighth guy, that if he's that guy for you, really put you over the top mm-hmm. to be that score. Like, for instance, if he's in Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
holy moly.
Yeah.
And he's delivering threes and running the court, and he doesn't have to – the ball's coming to you like Kyle Korver now. You just never know.
Yeah. You know, as far as it goes for Rudy, this is going to be interesting too for him, because we have heard from most people today, whether it was James Hamm earlier, we played the sound there from Nate Duncan, you believe he'll opt out. What if he doesn't?
Interesting. That's an interesting one, because then that puts in the Kings court a player who you're going to have to pay. He's coming to the end of a contract. You're probably not going to – I mean, at what point will he play during the year, and at what level will he play to? And then at that point, because then he could be using his time here as an audition, as opposed to, you know, what type of value do mm-hmm. you have out of him? Because now you're obviously not going to get as much trade value right. out of him. But is there a package deal, or do you – because I think in Vlade's term, waiting was the right thing to do, from the standpoint that you're probably going to get the greatest value out of him when someone said, you know what we need? We need a 6'10 score that's, you know, mm-hmm. and he's
that
perfect fit for you. You would have to do that all over again next yeah. year, but this time you got to hope that he comes back and is ready to go.
Yeah, that's if that scenario plays out. Not sure if that's going to be the way it goes. Dave joins us next on KHDK. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how are you doing? How you guys doing?
Great.
I got a couple questions. I want to take it away from the Warriors and the Kings for a little bit, but two questions for you. First, about the Oakland Raiders filed for relocation today. How is it? Is it a reach for 3/4 of the league to approve this move? And also at the end too, I guess Goodell's going to have to approve it too. What are the chances of that happening?
Well, I think that part's great. I mean, honestly, Dave, if they get owner's approval, the commissioner's going to approve. I mean, I think he's basically in the spot with the owners. I mean, he wants the owners to be happy.
I would say that if he has, and he already has, from my understanding, Jerry Jones, if he has the owner from the Patriots.
Robert Kraft. Those are the two big hitters.
Those are the two big hitters. Now, if you talk about Steelers, if you know, those mm-hmm. are the ones that everything, like we talked about, owner, general manager. That's how it usually goes. So if you get those big guys, the other ones kind of fall into place.
Yeah, I mean, but that's it's getting closer to be a reality. I've always said, too, Doug, it's got to get worse before it gets better. We're at that point where it's worse. So if Oakland has some sort of rally, they better get it going fast.
Yes, and man, I don't – now with this part, this piece – you know, the toe is slipping off of the, you know, you're holding on with one foot, the dock, and the boat's going farther and farther away, and you're trying to hold on. And right now, you got your pinky toe holding on.
Just hanging on. And I know, felt like with the NBA, when the Kings were in this spot, I know they don't like to make it a practice of moving teams. I think the NFL has said that, but we've just seen two move and maybe a third here.
Well, it's a different time now with money, with social media, with a lot of different things. This isn't going to be the last, and NBA is locked in pretty good. But, yeah, it's going to – and Ken, if you're out there listening, it's not your pinky toe as cute as it may be.
Oh, you had to look at that? My goodness. I saw it here in studio. Join KHK for the Big Game Golf Tournament. That's February 5th, 8:30 a.m. start at Hagen Oaks Golf Course, 3645 Fulton Avenue. Entry includes a big game cap, food, beverages, prizes, and more. Registration fee, $79.99. For more information, visit KHK.com. All right, how close are the Niners to locking in Kyle Shanahan as their coach? And the NFL playoffs continue. Championship weekend. We'll discuss all that and more with Eric Adelson from Yahoo Sports. He joins us next here on KHDK. Is this about me? Back here on the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. Jason Ross in for Grant. Eric Adelson will join us, reporter for Yahoo Sports, talking all things about the NFL Championship weekend. Seattle's not in there.
Hey, I
waited a long time. Grant's been attacking you. It's been uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, you know what? We take our lumps and we keep it pushing.
You know?
That's
his Giants are out too. Anyway,
you got to reload.
Yeah,
and you got to figure out where you needed it. Our offensive line, we were highest paid. Now the lowest paid. No protection. Got the quarterback hurt. Thomas is out. Defense wasn't playing. So got to re up and figure it out.
Yeah. So do you root for the Falcons now because they beat you, or do you want them out?
I'm going underdog, man. I'm going with the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Yeah.
That. And it's hard to call them an underdog, but it probably is. They're a road team. Yeah.
They are the road team.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the NFL with NFL national reporter for Yahoo Sports, Eric Adelson, joining us here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Jason Ross along with Doug Christie. Eric, how are you?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you?
Great. Great. I want to get into the playoff games in just a moment, but want to start with the last coaching job that officially is still open, but it looks like by all accounts it's going to be Kyle Shanahan. But we're still waiting on the GM. Do you find that practice being a little bit out of whack here, Eric, that the Niners are going coach first before the GM?
Yeah, the Niners needed direction, and you could have said this after Harbaugh too. I mean, even when they brought in Chip Kelly, it was not clear who the 49ers were. That's something that's still been a void after Harbaugh left. You knew with Harbaugh you were going to get toughness and defense and discipline. And with Chip Kelly, you got a little bit of that offense, but not really the whole Chip Kelly effect. And now I'm not sure what you have. And the fact that there's no GM, it just shows that there's kind of a void there in what the vision is and what the direction is. And no matter how good the coach is, you need the GM to put it all into place. Otherwise, I think they're going to have an extremely difficult decision at number two. I mean, do you go with the quarterback? Do you go with Trubisky or Watson? I mean, do you trade down? They've got to figure this out soon because, as everybody knows, you've got the Senior Bowl and you've got the Combine, and it's all coming really fast. And if you don't have a vision, then you're going to have problems on draft day.
Normally, Eric, do you allow the coach to do that, the general manager to do that, or is it a combination of both? Because if that's the case, man, you're dependent on Jed York at this time. Yeah. That's scary.
Yeah, no, I mean, that whoever it is, or all of the above or none of the above, they've got to figure it out. And I think that that's something that's – I think it's an institutional issue is that – They knew they didn't want Harbaugh, but what do you want instead? And that's just never been answered. And I think it has to be answered now because if you're going to go, you have to decide if you're going to be an offensive team or a defensive team in terms of your identity. Obviously, every team wants to do both, but I think that the marrow of every winning team is clear. And we don't know that. And bringing in Shanahan, if they do, is part of it. But we don't know the other part of it also. And I think that that's why you had McDaniel pulling out. You had sort of a long wait on this, is because what are you buying into when it's 49ers? Which is really kind of sad, because the 49ers, and when you think of the franchise, you think of it's the gold standard. And now it's not that at all. And in order for it to return to that, you got to know what the franchise is about.
Eric Adelson, NFL national reporter for Yahoo Sports. Eric, staying in the Bay Area, Raiders signed papers for relocation today. They are going to need a percentage of the vote from the owners. A lot of Raider fans up here, what's your ear telling you that they will get that percentage?
I think so. I mean, it's follow the money, right? I mean, we're talking about billionaires. You got to follow the money, and the money points to the big new stadium and the new market. I mean, that's the thing that they want. And I think that's why we have two teams in LA, is that you want a new market. I think, I wouldn't say London is capped out, because I want to see if the Jags are ever really good. I think we can see more of a fan base in London, but I don't think London's ever going to really host a team permanently. So this is really, this is the last stop, I think, for expansion for a while. I think that the next biggest cities, are Orlando, St. Louis, which obviously is gone, and San Antonio. I don't see it expanding there. So you have a new demographic, you have a new part of the world, you have a fast-growing city, and you're going to have this huge stadium. That's all the things the owners want. I don't really think that they're paying attention to what the needs of the fans are. If they did, they probably would have stayed in San Diego or Oakland. I'm really disappointed to see Oakland. They had some of the, and we saw that this year, they have some of the best fans in the whole league. So this is about dollars, and they see dollar signs in Vegas, and that's where I think the league will go.
Eric, we got a star-studded Final Four as far as quarterbacks go. If we start with the NFC Championship game, we always say the statement, defense wins championships. Maybe we put that one aside for the NFC, because we got some pretty good offenses on display on Sunday. What about the defenses in that game?
Yeah, well, I think that that's a great point, because I think that Dan Quinn is, I mean, somebody was in the Super Bowl very recently. He's somebody who's game planned against great quarterbacks consistently. And if you look at the quote misfits they have in the secondary, it's similar to what you had with the Legion of Boom in the younger days. And so it's not just the talent that they have, but also the mastermind behind that talent in Quinn. And I think if there's any coach remaining, besides obviously Belichick, who can dial up a game plan to stop Rodgers, I think it'll be Quinn. I think he'll get some delayed blitzes. I think they'll try to keep him in the pocket after the snap, but then come later. I think that will work. If anything's going to work, maybe nothing works against Aaron Rodgers. So to me, I'm really excited to see how the secondary does. And then on the other side of the ball, again, speaking of defense, which you aptly brought up, the Achilles heel of the Packers is still that secondary, still depleted secondary. And Matt Ryan is MVP worthy, and I think that he's got not one but two tall, lanky, fast receivers. That's something that the Packers have not seen in their run, and Julio Jones and Sanu. So I think this is a really tall task for the Packers, and I think it's because of the matchup. The Cowboys had a bad matchup with the Packers, because they had their issues in on defense, and now the Packers the issues on defense. I think that they're going to come home to roost this weekend.
Well, Atlanta, number one in points per game, 33.8, 13 different receivers catch touchdowns, Freeman and Coleman out of the backfield. You mentioned Sanu and Julio Jones. Those are all name brands, and especially with Matty Ice as well. And then you look on the other side, and you got Mr. Everything as a quarterback in Rodgers. Can they match up just because it's not name brand? Do you really think that they have a sincere opportunity to win this one on the road?
The Packers, yeah. I mean, I think that if you have Aaron Rodgers, you've got a chance, and he's going to keep them in the game. He's going to be calm. He's going to have that poise. And the thing that's impressed me, I mean, I'll admit that I didn't expect the Packers to get this far. I thought that their running game and their offensive line were suspect. And those two parts of their offense have really balanced Rodgers well. And those two things have given them a chance, has given Rodgers a chance to win it late. And I think that that's what keeps them in the game. I think that that's sort of an unsung is how well that that offensive line and running game has been. I just have to say, as much as I like the Packers' magic and believe in Aaron Rodgers, I just think the Falcons have the edge in this game. I think that they have this really potent offense that matches up well against the secondary, and I think that they have a running game, a combination of running game and wide receivers. And guys like Vic Beasley, they have a young defense. I think they're a very complete team. So, yes, Aaron Rodgers can win any game, anywhere, anytime. But I have to say, I'm leading the Falcons here.
Eric, I want to ask you about the AFC, too. It's tough to go into Foxborough. Is Pittsburgh a team, though, that's capable of doing it with their pretty special offensive players? What's your take on the AFC Championship game?
Yeah. I was in Pittsburgh a couple of weeks ago, and the feeling there is that, okay, we have not had all three of these guys together, the Bees, the Ben, Brown, and Bell. We haven't had them all in the postseason, and everyone's excited to see that because I think there's a feeling in Pittsburgh that if they had everybody healthy in years past, then maybe they could have knocked off the Patriots. So I think for the Steelers, this is not just the matchup they wanted this year, but the matchup they wanted for years. I think that there's a sense that if they were healthy, that they really could be the best team in the AFC. So there's an emotional component to this beyond obviously playing to get to the Super Bowl. And they do have Ben Roethlisberger obviously has experience. So does Tomlin. Here's the problem with that the Steelers face is that Belichick's always going to take away your number one option. He's going to take away Bell as best he can. Bell's a great running back. I love watching him set up linebackers. But Belichick's going to have somewhat of an answer for him. So the big question is, can Brown get open and can he make these big plays? Because the choices that Roethlisberger has had against Kansas City and against Miami, those choices are going to be limited against the Pats. And so it's not just getting Bell to run. It's going to be getting the ball to Brown, too.
Well, we had a great Sunday last week. Let's hope we have a good one this week. Eric, thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great to be on. Enjoy the games.
All right, thank you.
Eric with some good stuff.
Taking it all in?
Yeah. Man, taking it all in. It's 5:45. Time to check out International Sports from the Expo now through Sunday at Cal Expo.
All right, we got more to get to, more calls too at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hopefully we have those great games. The playoffs have been duds until last Sunday. We got some great games and some more to look forward to this weekend. Back with more of the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie, Jason Ross in for Grant here on Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, thank you, Damian. Of course, we'll be back with Damian and Ken tomorrow on the Lowdown. You never know what will happen. You might see Ken's feet, like you said.
Oh, man, no more.
He was proud of those, too.
Obviously.
Yeah, too proud. Thanks to Eric Adelson for joining us here. Garrett Temple and James Hamm so far on the show. Jason Ross in for Grant. Doug Christie is here. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You know, the stuff we talk about off-air, honestly, could be really good show material. Just that... Sometimes just being on the team, playing, the travel, that's some nice stuff. That's some good stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing like it, man. I mean, so many crazy stories, fun time traveling, and you go. It's a bonding time, not only for the team, but just because once you're on that plane.
It's just you guys.
You're part of the team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm talking track because you got to understand that the people who are doing radio, doing TV, they're making you look good. Then all of the people,
there's
Roar
PR,
and all those guys, they're making you look good, who's making you look good. And it just goes on and on, and not to mention Pete Youngman and Manny and the trainers. And it's just it's a nice, nice little environment.
Yeah, it's probably about, what do you say, about 30? About 30 people, team, trainers, coaches.
Oh, more than that.
Is it 40?
Easy.
Not that much more, though.
Come on. Let's see. You got, 14 players, 15 players?
About five to six coaches, video guy or two.
Okay, so now we're
equipment.
At 20. Yeah.
And then PR.
Yeah.
Maybe some management sometimes.
Yeah.
And so then broadcast.
Probably 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not. I mean, it's.
Yeah, it's
not. You see everybody.
Crazy.
You know who everybody. Yeah, it's a good time. Good time. All right, let's get some more phone calls here. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Chaz joining us here on KHTK. Hey, Chaz.
Hey, how you guys doing? First time caller. Love the show. I just had a quick question about the Kings. first question is, Do you think so? Now that the situation is what it is, do you think that DeMarcus would still want to re-sign
even though we might be looking at another 3 or 4 year rebuild?
I don't think it changes DeMarcus at all. Do you, Doug? I mean,
no.
He's been the one thing, whether you like him or not or think he should be here or not, he has been about as adamant as wanting to stay as anybody I've ever seen for on a bad team.
Right. I don't see that DeMarcus would change anything. I think DeMarcus probably understood the situation with Rudy, that he was going to be traded and probably who they were going to get for him. So I don't see that changing unless the direction of the Kings say that DeMarcus is going in a different direction, because has always said he wanted to be here, as far as I know.
Okay. One more question. Rudy said his statements about the Kings at the beginning of the season, and ever since then, I mean, at least the Kings fans I've talked to, you know, we've been anticipating a trade. Was there any reason that you guys might know that a trade was never made?
Well, I think and thank you, Chaz. I mean, a couple things you already said, Doug. One, maybe the right deal wasn't there just yet, and the deadline hasn't happened. So there's people that get a little more antsy if, you know, in just a couple weeks from now. That's probably my best answer. I don't know if the right deal was there.
Yeah, and so right deal being one, Jay, and then also just the timing, meaning that, Chaz, when you are trying to make a trade like a Rudy – Rudy is usually going to be that piece that's going to put a team over the top or closer or something like that, because he comes with a real defined skill set. He is a scorer. He's going to come in, he's going to put 18 to 20 points on the board. So that means that the closer you get to the trading deadline, more you would probably get for him, especially since the comments were made early. And in my opinion, usually when players talk that way, it devalues the situation, because teams then know that you're trying to move that player, so they're not going to offer you as much.
Yeah, plus this all is so fluid. If we just go back to January 2nd, I think is when they won in Denver, and they won four in a row or five of six. Rudy's on the team. They're clearly the eight seed at that point. I think they were about a game and a half ahead.
Yep.
So it's like, well, our goal is to get there. He's playing well. We are there right now. We don't have to do anything just yet. Now, the homestand happened, and they were bad, and it's changed. But it could also switch. I don't know that will happen, but it's really fluid.
Well, also, if you look at it that way, Jason, you've started to solidify yourself as the eight seed, and it changes the narrative of Rudy Gay a little bit, meaning that it says to other teams, he's a playoff player, he's helping lead this team to the playoffs. Now, maybe he can help you take that jump from a lower playoff team or a middle-rate playoff team to that next level, that maybe that elite level or whatever it is. So there's a lot of different storylines that you can look at in this.
Do you think there's any of this, the way they're going now with the injury to Rudy, that changes their thought on DeMarcus? I mean, again, no, the team doesn't have to decide on an extension for him till the summer. If he's still here, if that's what they want to do, that part makes sense. But if this team ends up in a real bad way, I don't know. I don't know if it affects their thought on him.
Yeah, I don't really think that it has any effect on Cuz and what they're doing. Like I said, unless they, directionally they decide to do something else, because I think ultimately Rudy, but you anticipated that he wasn't going to sign back. So you were looking for a deal to try to move him and bring in a piece that would probably, be more conducive to helping DeMarcus maybe solidify the point guard position, bring in an extra shooter. There's something that, it has to be beneficial to your cornerstone, which would be DeMarcus Cousins.
All right, when we come back, final hour of the Grant and Doug Show. Jason Ross in for Grant. Got to recap Rudy's situation. Certainly look at the Kings at the halfway point. A daunting road trip coming up starting tomorrow in Memphis. We'll discuss that and a whole lot more coming up here on Sports 1140 KHDK.